Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
Why is it cold at night? I'm asking this question because I'm doing my cardiac rehab walk in the freezing. It must be about 4 degrees out here. It's really absolutely freezing here up in Sydney. And, why is it cold? Cold is obviously, you can get these declarative explanations that it's cold at night, and that's night is cold. You can actually teach people a series of concepts which bounce off each other and then keep on rewarding them till they answer it. But I'm going to go a bit deeper than that. It's sort of naturally cold at night. There's no sun out to heat things up. Let's get a bit deeper here. In the Apollo 13 mission, the astronauts were in space. They had lost central power, a muck-up in their oxygen stirrer, I think going from 6 volts to 9 volts. They didn't do the complete upgrade and it blew up their oxygen level. And so in 1970, it must have been, or around that time, their spaceship blew out and they had to really struggle to actually get assistance to go back to Earth. But one of the things that happened is that people require heaters inside their spaceship because it gets extremely cold very quickly. So the answer is that that space itself is very cold. So at night you're looking at space, and space itself is actually quite cold. Now, heat travels from hot objects to cold objects, and so radiative heat, if it's allowed to, will actually travel from your body to the coldness at the surface of the universe. Now, this is one of the things, is that our universe, the very edge of the universe that we can see at 46 billion light years away, has cooled down to 3 or 2.8 degrees Kelvin. It used to be at 3,000 degrees Kelvin, but pretty much it's cooled by expansion. And so it's a hard thing to believe. We can still see the fireball. The fireball is now really cold because the universe has expanded and cold, and that's the cold I'm feeling at the moment, is cold from the expansion of the universe. Thank you very much. Now, another evidence. What is the evidence of cold? What are the observations of cold? When a meteorite slams into the ground, people think, oh, there's fire everywhere, it's huge impact. But often, more often than people walk up to the meteorite, and the meteorite itself has got frost in it because it was down at near to what we call absolute zero, very cold. Cold enough to freeze hydrogen and other things on it. It's come from space. So space itself is deep cold, and you radiate out from it. Now let's have another look. We are sort of a giant meteorite, and so the Earth itself will chill up. But you've also got things that the atmosphere cools as you go up. And cools as you go up, but then it heats up again. Now, one of the things, if you're ever boiling a billy tea on a campfire, you've got to have the heat at the bottom. When the heat at the bottom goes up, it rises up. But you can actually cause a thermocline. This is where you heat up the surface of the water and it stops convecting. This is sort of the problem of boiling water in the space station. There's gravity, there's no differential gravity between one point and the next. It's all in free fall. But there's no convection there. It's actually quite difficult to heat things up. it doesn't boil properly. So the similar thing has happened to us. I just want to talk about that, is that we have a beautiful lid on the weather. We've got the ozone layer, which starts, goes from, I suppose, 25 to 50 kilometres up, and it starts just above our cloud layer. Yeah, that's right, clouds can't actually penetrate into the ozone layer because that layer's hotter, relatively hot, and that stops convection upwards. So you can see clouds stop, and this is very much a difference of the cloud. The roof of the cloud is very much different at different distances from the equator. So if you're on the equator, clouds can be very, very tall, but if you're up in France or Britain, the clouds are very low to the ground. This is why the horizons and Britain and France and places like that seem very hemmed in, whereas Australia has very big horizons. Our ozone layer is much higher up, leading to a different structure in the clouds, which give a different sense of space. But one of the points I want to do is mention the ozone layer and how it's very important to understand things. One of the things is the role of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, or greenhouse gases. They do absorb infrared radiation from the Earth, but they also emit infrared radiation from the Earth and from everywhere, and transmit it back out into space. Or it doesn't receive infrared radiation from space. That's another way of looking at it. What happens is that the ozone layer works, and then the carbon dioxide takes over again, leading to the coldest part of the atmosphere, where the atmosphere gets extremely cold. And as carbon dioxide runs out, the atmosphere heats up again as it's receiving direct ionization, shortwave radiation from the sun. So you've got the different heating up bands, putting a lid, various lids on the atmosphere. But you also have the fact that you're cooling down because the Earth is losing its radiation to space, but also the air, the cold air, which is slightly above, comes down, descends onto the Earth. So it gets really cold, can get really cold really quickly. And this cooling of the air, the cold air, is because it doesn't have ozone in it, it does have carbon dioxide in it, and that's a critical point. It's one of those things to understand. I could, on another podcast, I'll go into how ozone works and how carbon dioxide works, but that's my brief explanation of why it's so very, very cold out here. As I'm doing my cardiac rehab, just walking around in circles around this this oval. So I'll keep on walking there. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.